From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, October 7th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to consider the appeal by the Maine Republican Party to stop the state from using ranked choice voting in this year's presidential elections. Mel Leary reports.
Justice Stephen Breyer rejected the request that the court intervene in the case and overturned a Maine Supreme Court ruling that the party didn't submit enough valid signatures to force a vote on the state law requiring use of ranked choice voting in presidential elections. Under the state constitution, if enough valid signatures are submitted, the law would have been suspended until the voters decided the issue. In 2016, President Donald Trump lost the state of Maine but scored a 10-point lead in the 2nd District. That allowed him to pick up one electoral vote. Public polling shows the race very close in the 2nd District this year, and Republicans are worried that, under ranked choice voting, Trump may garner the most votes but lose the district after multiple tabulations. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree and Republican challenger Jay Allen disagreed on almost every issue during their first televised debate hosted by WCSH-TV. That includes their response to the spread of the new coronavirus. Allen, who is a family doctor, says he doesn't think masks should be mandatory. Pingree says she's of a different mind.
Well, I guess I'd take the completely opposite point of view. We've seen many studies that show that you often are shedding the most virus prior to any sign of the virus even being tested for it. Many people are asymptomatic.
Pingree and Allen also disagreed over continuing the Affordable Care Act. Allen supports repeal, while Pingree says it should be preserved but improved. The University of Maine system announced today that it's received the largest grant in its history to be used on athletic fields, new programs, and student retention. The system says the $40 million donation from the Harold Alphon Foundation is the 8th largest ever given to a public higher education institution in the U.S. and the biggest in New England. A former Florida businessman who ran for governor there is now making a play for one of Maine's U.S. Senate seats. And although observers of the closely watched race say independent Max Lynn can't beat incumbent Republican Susan Collins or Democrat Sarah Gideon, he could influence which one of them does get the win. Fred Bever has this candidate profile.
Max Lynn, 62, is a retired financial planner with an eclectic political history. In the late 1990s, he was a citizen activist for term limits in Florida. In 2006, he ran for governor there as a Reform Party candidate and lost. 2 years later, he self-financed a $500,000 run in a Democratic congressional primary and lost. Since then, he says, his distrust of two-party politics has grown.
And it's a rigged system, and it's rigged for the big multinational companies.
Lynn made Maine his home base a little over a decade ago, and he lives in Bar Harbor. His wife is Hannah Aquino Lynn. In 2018, his bid to become Maine Republicans' Senate nominee failed after hundreds of his petition signatures were thrown out. Now he's running for Senate again, this time as an independent. He's up against Republican Collins, Democrat Gideon, and Independent Lisa Savage, a longtime member of the Green Independent Party. And the corporations, Lynn says, are still running the show, writing legislation that is duly enacted by partisan leadership.
And that's why a vote for Sarah or Susan is not really voting for Sarah or Susan. It's voting for Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, or Chuck Schumer, and they're not going to give a damn about Maine.
The anti-corporate critique can sound a little like Bernie Sanders. as does Lynn's support for forgiving student loans. He calls himself an environmentalist, and he opposes Central Maine Power's controversial power line project. But Lynn is also calling for a 5-year moratorium on new immigrants entering the U.S., and he's urging Americans to buy more guns and ammunition for self-defense. And Lynn is vociferously supporting President Donald Trump's re-election, a contrast with Collins, who's dodged questions about whether she will vote for Trump.
He's sort of ideologically all over the place.
Dan Shea is the director of Colby College's Goldfarb Center for Public Affairs.
In some ways, he really swings to the left, almost populist. But at the same time, he'll have some very conservative positions, and I think he is hitching his wagon to Donald Trump.
And in a recent Colby poll, Lynn garnered 5% support, more than Savage, and enough to keep either Collins or Gideon from taking a clear majority in this year's election. And Lynn did it with no party behind him and no advertising. Although he has shown an ability to make an impression, as in the first televised debate early last month.
I've got to be way outside the box tonight. I have to be different because I'm competing against $100 million. And so I'm going to put your question aside, and I have a bombshell to announce tonight. You know, right now...
I would ask that you stick with the question.
Request denied.
Outside the box, he was, consistently avoiding the panel's direct questions with what became a bit of a tagline.
Request denied again.
Lynn's online campaign videos are now called the Request Denied podcast. And he tried to engineer another attention grabber in another recent debate in which he dramatically flourished a surgical mask and a pair of scissors.
Symbolically, I want to cut these masks right in front of our viewers. I want to be the first Senate candidate and your first senator in the United States to say, I protest government telling us what we have to wear and telling us what our businesses are necessary and what are unnecessary.
Such antics have brought him some attention and notoriety, with one columnist calling Lynn a court jester. But it's a tried and true tactic for outsiders.
At times it's beneficial to act a little outrageous because it attracts the attention of the public and then you get to close the deal.
Russell Verney was a top advisor to Lynn's Florida campaign, and he's now executive director of Project Veritas, a right-leaning, self-styled investigative journalism group that produces controversial and highly edited videos. Verney says Lynn was an optimistic, energetic, and committed candidate. And Verney, who in 1996 directed Ross Perot's presidential campaign, says that what can seem an outsider's dream, such as Perot's focus on a balanced federal budget, can become a mainstream philosophy, win or lose.
So as Max Lynn and other independent third-party candidates raise legitimate issues that the Republicans and Democrats don't want to talk about, he's making an impact on the future of the state of Maine.
Few, if any, observers are awarding Lynn, who's reported raising and spending no money for the campaign, a chance to win the Senate seat. But with the state's unique ranked choice voting system in play, the second choice of voters who pick Lynn first could prove decisive in who ultimately piles up a majority of votes. Colby political scientist Dan Shea says the possibilities are pretty hard to parse, and that while one might expect most of Lynn's voters to move to Collins for their second choice, the polling data, while limited, shows more Max Lynn voters instead choosing progressive Lisa Savage second.
Yeah, where, you know, political scientists and pundits are looking for this sort of consistent flow of issue positions and vote choice. I'm not exactly sure that we'll see that here. I'm not so sure it's a policy-driven vote choice with Max Lynn. It may be more of a protest vote.
Lynn's campaign has tweeted out conflicting messages about a preferred second choice. Here's how he put it in a recent interview.
Vote for change first and vote for Susan or Sarah second and take advantage of what Maine has uniquely that no other state in the history of America has had, and that is ranked choice voting at the federal level, and you can vote for change first.
Max Lynn is hoping that Maine voters will see him as that agent of change. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast for the state of Maine with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
A bit of mayhem will accompany this cold frontal passage this evening. Powerful gusts in concert, slowly relaxing overnight for most, while continuing to rage across the mountains. Showers will end early south, north after midnight. Skies will clear for all but the northern third of the state by dawn, 38 north of mountains to 48 far south. Tomorrow decidedly different with respect to temperatures. Windy statewide once again. Sunshine will be limited over northern Maine and the mountains. Mostly sunny for the remainder of the state. 49 to 62 north to south. Friday, tranquil. Bright sunshine will blanket the entire state through midday and then begin to fade during the afternoon over the mountains in the county. 48 to 60 north to south. Saturday, warmer air will surge into New England once again. Across the northern half of the state, expect considerable cloudiness. Southern half, filtered sunshine, quite pleasant. 56 to 76 north to interior south, a marked temperature range. Sunday, lovely for everyone. Abundant sunshine for most, a few clouds far south. 47 north to 62 interior south. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for Maine Public.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 11, when the guest will be U.S. Senate candidate Sarah Gideon. I'm Ed Morin.